The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for this week's edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you, and delighted to be so on this Monday, starting a brand new week. That's when we're sitting down and getting some things out of the way that I've been wanting to talk to you about. And I try and kind of develop a theme every week when I get together with all of my dear friends and listeners out there that are tuning into the show. And this week's theme, I think, is best summed up by saying you should listen to Need to Know to get the actual story on all of everything that's important to you and everything you truly do need to know. And that might sound a little arrogant. It may sound a little bit, self-serving, but you know, this is not something I do. This program is not designed for great fame and fortune. Certainly not the fortune part. And fame is fleeting and limited. I have no ulterior motive for sitting down with you here on TKR every week and talking about what's happening, but It's kind of an interesting concept that's happened with me. I find that as I have kind of drifted around this world for more and more years, I have developed just a lot keener perspective and an ability to just pick up on things. Maybe it's just kind of a reshuffling of how that I process information, but in times where everything seems kind of upside down and tumultuous and even a little bit scary, I have this kind of demeanor that's developed, and it has nothing to do with any great, you know, any discovery of mine. It's just the way I've kind of evolved, but I just feel like I have a precise understanding of so many things that other people find confusing. And I also have the rare ability now of being able to recognize what's total BS when somebody says something, or there's some kind of advertisement trying to sell you something. It doesn't work on me. I'm proud to say that I can kind of cut through all of the noise and make a real solid judgment on things. And that includes a lot of the things that are in the headlines every day that, you know, I hear all these big time commentators with their network positions and their staffs of 40 and 50 researchers and technical people that can put together anything at any time and come up with all kinds of different facts and sound bites. I mean, it must be nice to live in that kind of environment. I do that. I'm a one-man band. I do that on my own every once in a while. Here on this program, I'm joined by the best partner on earth, Terry Quillian, who we debuted our sports shows over the weekend in the Birmingham market. The Sunday show, the morning after our eighth season. Terry is kind of in the same mindset kind of direction that I tend to circulate in. And we team up and do some great stuff. And she's on, of course, on this program from time to time. Would like to hope that she'll spend more time with us. But Terry and I bring kind of a unique perspective. And I'm proud to say that we've kind of developed each other's ability to do that over the 10 years we've been partners. But with all setting all that aside, there's some things in the news right now that amaze me, because these big operations, these people making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to come to your living room every day on national television and give you their opinions. And again, utilize the information from their massive staffs and all the resources of their networks. But I find myself all the time, you know, questioning a lot of that information. And here's the prime example of what I'm talking about. You remember back about a month ago now, the Mossad, which is the, if you're not familiar with, is the intelligence agency. It's kind of the equivalent to what the American CIA would be. The Mossad is the counterintelligence, really the a military branch in that country, in Israel, that is so developed because the volatility of where they are and what they face every day in terms of their existential status, their survival, to put it another way, is they have to have the most developed, highest skilled spy agency and counteractive intelligence ability of any country that's ever been on the face of the earth. They have got to be twice as good as everybody else, and the resources they put in to making that operation just world class, the gold standard, really, for this kind of situation. And when Mossad does something extraordinary, like they did about a month ago, when with all of these proxy groups that are opposing their country, Hamas, of course, the one that's really in the headlines right now, after they committed the atrocity of October 7th of last year of actually attacking private Israeli citizens in their homes at a music festival, just walking down the street, this murderous torrent that they, in the most brutal kind of situation you can possibly imagine. And everything, all the repercussions since that happened, taking also almost 300 hostages initially, it was in the 200s and somethings. There are still over 120 hostages seemingly in their control. But Hamas is totally funded by the Iranians, who at the end of the Donald Trump administration, Trump had bled them dry, basically. He had put on strict sanctions where they were not able to market their oil because any country that did business with Iran was going to be basically cut off from the biggest pipeline of revenue, which is the United States of America. He had basically put Iran into financial ruin. And of course, if they couldn't even sustain their own country, they could not funnel millions of dollars into Hamas and Hezbollah, the two on the border entities that are always on the attack and always a threat to Israel, and the Houthis, who are based in Yemen, another Iranian terrorist organization. But with this, with the Biden administration coming in and all of the behind the scenes people that run this country now, since we don't have a president, and now we really don't have a president, we'll get to that in a minute. But, there's this crazy kind of idea in that group, and it kind of emanates from the Barack Obama camp, that Iran is the key to having solid relations in the Middle East, and basically, acquiescing, kowtowing, whatever you want to say, to the desires of the Iranians is preferable to them than affiliating with our longtime partner, coming up on about 80 years now since its formation, the partnership with the democracy that is Israel. A lot of the discontent with Israel too stems from the fact that in recent elections they basically resoundingly rejected the whole woke movement in Israel, the leftist push that we're experiencing right now in the United States. They had managed to get a pretty good foothold in the Israeli government, the kind of radical all for reform, go totally left wing and get into more of a Marxist kind of central, solid, all dependent, all everything government, as opposed to individual liberties. And again, we're experiencing the same thing here. Well, when the Israeli citizens had a chance in 2022 to continue that or reject it, they rejected it and then some, by just gigantic margins, almost 70%. Just about every one of these leftist, Marxist, woke people were booted out of office in the elections. Benjamin Netanyahu was reestablished as prime minister. And ever since then, the left in this country, and again, it's the behind the scenes, and it would take too long to explain it, because it's not just domestic people that are in this whole movement, this whole globalist kind of kumbaya. We need one kind of unified world government nonsense that are trying to transform this country. And there's that's 15 more shows to get into all those details. And we've touched on a lot of them over the time that you've been listening to Need to Know. But that political shift really turned up the heat on discontent and outright hatred for Israel by the people trying to manipulate events here. And the reestablishment of Netanyahu to them is parallel to the thought, the horror in their mind of Donald Trump regaining the White House. It was kind of a preview, and I think it kind of freaked them out that they had things rolling along after 2020 and had installed governments around the world. And one by one, a lot of these countries are rejecting this whole move to the left and this whole move to dominant elitist, collective societies where government is in charge of every aspect of life, from what you can drive to what you can have appliance wise in your house, to where you can go, to what you can do for a living, to controlling all of the finances and industry and healthcare, all of the industries in your country. And the world is starting to say, this is not what we want. And in a lot of the countries where there's still an opportunity to install the type of government that the people choose, and no examples better than this country, they are summarily rejecting that move. The European Union has had a lot of dissension and people moving the other direction. A lot of countries have been electing more and more conservatives, trying to kind of get back to being on track for independence. And there's some countries like England that have recently elected some more people on the left, and they're already imposing censorship policies and laws against speaking out on anything having to do with any disagreement of government policy, labeling that as hate speech and even arresting people. Is that the kind of country you want? Free speech, no ability to give your opinion if you disagree with something. You've got to go along or you're going to pay the price. And I don't think anybody wants to see that. So I think that's the root of a lot of this anti-Israel sentiment. But, you know, I told you after Mossad in one day took out the Hezbollah leader that had coordinated an attack in the Golan Heights area that ended up going terribly wrong in terms of, well, maybe it went wrong. I don't know if it was intentional. I can't imagine that a youth center with a bunch of soccer fields and kids playing on a Sunday afternoon was the target of this attack. But that's exactly what happened that day. There were like 14 kids playing soccer in an official league game in their uniforms with their parents watching in horror. A rocket fired by Hezbollah hit that complex and killed a bunch of people, injured a whole lot more. Maybe it was really targeted for a nearby military installation. We don't know, but Israel did what Israel is skilled at doing. They retaliated. And in the very next week, they took out the commander who had coordinated that attack because, again, their intelligence is unmatched. They have their finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. And later that same day, not 24 hours later, in Tehran, Iran, they were installing the new president of Iran, who is kind of a figurehead there, too, because it's the Ayatollahs led by the Supreme Ayatollah, who is the same name as the Supreme Ayatollah who took hostages of Americans back in the 1980s. Ayatollah Khomeini is the grand. You know, I guess anybody who ascends to that position gets that name, or maybe some kind of relative. I don't know. But the grand leader is the one, and his council of fellow Ayatollahs, who are these old school, you know, 10th or 12th century, fanatics who rule strictly on these crazy Islamic principles that we're all very familiar with. Major, major anti-women, by the way. So any woman in the street screaming at the top of her lungs supporting Hamas or Iran or Hezbollah or any of those organizations, they really need a brain scan, because any support for these organizations is an absolute. Support for stripping women of every right that they've worked so many centuries to attain. These people want to put women back in these ridiculous ancient, get-ups where they have to cover their face and wear scarves and can't go out in public without male accompaniment. You hear Kamala Harris now, and they, one of the big themes of this campaign is we ain't going back. Well, any support by the Democrats and this radical left wing and all of these morons out in the street screaming in support of Hamas and anti-Israel, they're not only talking about going back, they're talking about going back to prehistoric times, basically, where women's role was not even secondary. It was far down the line. And it's just confounding. Anybody with a functioning brain can be out there, especially a female or a Jewish individual, any votes for this party that has embraced this kind of ideology is absolutely baffling. But Mossad, the same day they took out the Hezbollah guy, basically by knowing where he lived and doing a precision strike on his house, the real one was a few hours later in Tehran, where the leader, one of the leaders of the Hamas group that's responsible for that attack on October 7th, was in Tehran for the installation of this new president. Now, the previous president died mysteriously in a helicopter crash earlier this year that may or may not have been accidental. We don't know. But there's messages sent by Mossad, the Israeli intelligence and counter unit, on a regular basis. But the most audacious ever, on the same day they took out the Hezbollah guy in Lebanon, this guy settled into a secured guest house. His name was Hami, who was in charge of Hamas. But he had settled into this guest house in the middle of the military complex that is the nerve center of everything in the Iran government. And reportedly, shortly thereafter, there was this tremendous explosion in this guest house, and it blew everything to smithereens, including the leader of the Hamas terrorist organization. Now, of course, they're not on the ground down on the Israeli border. The three leaders, this guy was the, quote, political leader, they're based in Qatar. which is in luxury in these mansions. They're getting all this money from Iran. They're channeling it down to Israel to be the just the thorn in the side of the Israelis, proxies of the Iranian government who are financing everything. Because when Biden and Harris came into the White House, they lifted all of Trump's sanctions. They restored, they unfroze gigantic bank accounts in foreign countries that belonged to the Iranians that they had seized, basically, demanding that they get away from their terrorist activities, basically allowing them to get back in business and coming up with a flood of cash that they could turn around and fund all of this terrorist activity, which was basically completely under control. And there was peace breaking out all through the Middle East. Now it's a tinderbox again because of the policies of this administration and all of this academic driving of young people, telling them what a terrible country Israel is and that their intent is to wipe out all the Palestinian people. They're screaming about Genocide Joe. Genocide Joe Biden is a hilarious scapegoat for this because he doesn't make any decisions. He's trying to play both sides of the fence. With the company line of, you know, we're trying to affiliate with Iran. At the same time, he's saying we support Israel. You can't have it both ways. There are Iran is the diametrically undeniable enemy of Israel. So anyway, the bottom line is they get to this guy in the deepest quarters of Iran in Tehran on the weekend of the ascension of a new president and blow him up. And that's it for Hami. He's out of the game now. And of course, immediately, and I told you this almost a month ago, immediately the storyline became, well, a severe response from the Iranians is absolutely imminent. Israel is on high alert. They know that they're going to get this severe attack in response from Iran, and it's going to just cause all this turmoil and death, and this is going to be awful. Every news anchor, whether they're on the most liberal networks or the most conservative, saying this attack from Iran is coming anytime. I know a couple of days after that, they would say, you know, intelligence sources are indicating that in the next 4 or 5 hours, the major attack to retaliate against Israel by Iran is coming because of the assassination of the Hamas leader Hami in Tehran has humiliated the Iranian government. Well, folks, it did a lot more than humiliate them. What it did was signal to the Grand Ayatollah and his other ayatollahs in whatever group that is, wherever they meet, wherever they live, all of the government officials in Iran that serve under them. This was a lot more than an embarrassment. This was a somber, severe, dynamic way to convert the message of, yo, fellas, we can get to you anytime, anywhere. Trump showed it, and I guarantee you that was in conjunction with Mossad when they took out the number one Iranian terror organizer who was had a rank of general in the Iranian army, was really the chief advisor to the Ayatollahs for all of their nefarious activities around the world, Soleimani. Remember, he landed during the Trump administration in Iraq. Supposedly, intelligence had indicated he was there to organize some attacks on U.S. troops and military facilities in that country. Well, he never got that chance because leaving the airport, a drone targeted his limousine and bye-bye Soleimani. Donald Trump actually had the Chinese premier at Mar-a-Lago at the time, President Xi, and he excused himself from the table and basically had to go. They said they had Soleimani targeted. And when he came back, he said to Xi, And this has been documented by a lot of people that were there. Well, I pardon my interruption for dinner. I'm sorry that I had to step away. I had a serious security decision to make relative to Soleimani, the Iranian chief of terrorism, and the general in their army. And we just targeted him and took him out. I had to take care of that. And What a message to convey to President Xi. A guy you're negotiating with, the message was simple, that none of you people that think you're so high and mighty right now and are causing all of this turmoil in the world, you are under the microscope and we can get you whenever we want. And that message that was transmitted in their own guest quarters that are heavily secured by their military, the fact that Mossad was able to get in there at some point in the last 4 or 5 months, whenever it was, knowing that Hamid would be back there at some point and having the intelligence ability to know that's where they put him, in that one particular dwelling, and have it rigged up. And as soon as he came back, I mean, you talk about laying in the weeds. They push the button and that's it for that particular terrorist. And that message was loud and clear. So all of this imminent attack on Israel in retaliation, I told you on this show, and I was adamant about it and have remained adamant about it as they continue to say that this is going to be happening. Iran is not going to try and strike Israel again. They did send a fusillade of rockets and things long range back earlier in the summer, and all of the missile defense systems pretty much knocked all that out. The Americans have a strong military presence, particularly on the seas bordering these countries with a couple of our major carriers. There's huge military presence there. If the Iranians would have tried some kind of counterattack, probably would be not only 24 hours before Israel could go into Tehran and do massive damage. Because after the stupid rocket attack that did not work at all back in the summer, Iran immediately showed their capability by striking back at several major military targets in Iran, just to, again, send the message. And it was a response that was commiserate with what Iran tried to do. It wasn't over the top, but it sends a strong message. And when they could take Hamid out right under their noses in their most secure area, You got to believe that the Ayatollah Khomeini himself said, yikes, I'm not safe walking around here. When your own hide is on the line, you're not quite as full of bravado and fire and brimstone as you would be if you feel totally secure. Mossad has proven they are the baddest of the bad on this planet. They know everything. They can achieve just about anything. It is the greatest organization, I guess, for lack of a better word, ever created on this earth to really counter and ensure that the Israelis citizens are well protected, because being able to respond in this manner and having the informational ability to gather facts and know what's going on, unlike any other agency in the world. And our CIA has worked in lockstep with them. And it's why that the security of the world really depends on Israel's survival and America not succumbing to this globalist movement, because these are the biggest impediments for all of these people with all of their evil intentions of taking over U.S. resources and really removing the last obstacle, the United States of America, that's in the way of them achieving their nefarious goals. So I told you for months now, over a month that this is the case, that no attack from Iran directly is imminent. Now, they've got their stooges, Hezbollah and Hamas. Of course, Hamas is just about obliterated. Hezbollah is still trying to send missiles into Israel. But it's really tepid compared to Iran's lack of ability to do anything. And the reason they're not doing anything is because they fear obliteration, because the Israelis can basically, with their superior military ability and their, as I mentioned, with the genius and the efficiency of Mossad, this isn't a fair fight. Israel will obliterate Iran, and that's why they're working so feverishly trying to develop a nuclear weapon. And once again, this Biden administration really turning this spigot of unlimited money pouring back into Iran have really furthered that process. So the whole thing is really discouraging. The world as a whole needs the leadership of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel and the restoration of Donald Trump as president of the United States, whether you like him or not. This administration and their policies and their dishonesty with the American people. Remember, just until a couple of months ago, Joe Biden is 100%. He's so vital. He's so engaged. He's on top of everything. Well, we know that's absolute hokum now. And right under our noses, they have thrown a sitting U.S. president out that 80 million of you supposedly voted for in the last election. But, you know, Joe can't win, so Joe's got to go. And they got Joe out, and we have no president right now. Joe went and made his angry, Joe was really on the juice. I don't know what they pump into him. It was the same stuff they gave him for the State of the Union address, but he was literally shouting at the convention gatherers the other day. He was so miserable and so angry and so fiery. And usually he's just mumbling, stumbling Joe. But to recuperate from that, he flew straight out to California and stayed completely out of sight for a whole week at a mansion of a supporter out there. And he's gone from there. Guess where he is today? He's back at his Rehoboth Beach house in Delaware for all this week. We do not have a president right now. Joe Biden is out of action. It reminds me of back when I was first getting into the racing business. I was the track announcer. We had a guy from Boston named Jack Davis, who was the chart writer. So he watched the races and recorded where the position of all the runners and for the programs that would come out in future races. All of that information was recorded. There was a cardinal rule for all the people up on the judges' suite. Now, the judges, of course, were the main ones under this rule, but you could not go downstairs during the races. And if you did, if you had to go downstairs for some reason, you absolutely, if you were personnel in the judges' stand, could not make a bet on a race. Now, the only people that had any kind of say-so in determining results or photo finishes were the judges. So for the announcer and the chart writer and the TV people and a lot of the people that don't have that ability, the rule is kind of dumb, but it was still the rule because, as rules go, it's easier just to put it on everybody than to try to identify who's not under that control. But Jack Davis always was wanting to bet races. And toward the end of the season, he let them know there's only about a week left in the year. He let them know that he was not going to be back the next year. He goes take another job back closer to where he lived up in Boston. And the last week, every race, there goes Jack Davis. You hear him running up the stairs and going downstairs. And he was betting like crazy the last week of the season, going down and violating the rule every race. And when somebody asked him about it, said, Jack, aren't you afraid you're going to get in trouble? And he says, you might not have heard. I resigned. He goes, what are they going to do? Fire me? That's kind of the Joe Biden administration or Joe Biden himself right now. Joe's just saying, okay, they've run me out of office. I'm done. I'm just going to, you know, enjoy the trappings of Air Force One and being president, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not even going to go to Washington that much. This will be 2 weeks in a row that he has basically not even been on duty in Washington, D.C., while the world is boiling over in a lot of controversy and a lot of danger. So it's just indicative of this whole situation. Kamala Harris, of course, now officially running. We still have not heard one word about anything having to do with policy. The word that was used 1,000 times in the Democrat convention, joy. Oprah Winfrey, joy. Good grief. One verb, one descriptive word, adjective for Democrats and extreme leftists, joy? Not one of them. Terry Quillian and I used to joke on our show, The Ride Home, here in Birmingham, that what if you want an all-expense-paid cruise on a leftist Democrat voyage? That would be the most miserable environment ever, because these people are always angry and stone-faced and, you know, their nose to the grindstone. Joyous, probably the furthest word to describe this movement that you could possibly have. These are the most miserable people in the world. So many of these commentators on some of the more abrasive networks, they're just angry at everything and everybody, no matter how things are going. They had things going their own way the last 3 or 4 years, and they're still angry. And they're not running against Donald Trump. You would think Trump was still in the White House. We've got to get in. We've got to change everything. We've got to, all of a sudden, Kamala Harris is running on Donald Trump platforms. She's going to reinforce the border. She's going to not have any tax imposed on tips. She's going to, increase funding and build up law enforcement and go anti-crime all over the country. She's going to do all this stuff on day one. She's going to lower prices and tackle inflation. Guess what? She's running against her own administration. She's the vice president of the United States, and she's running against Donald Trump as if he's the president now. We've got to have change right away. They're in the White House. She's in the White House. It's absolutely astounding. If anybody falls for this nonsense, don't buy that rotten banana. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's unprecedented. We've never seen anything like it. This isn't a campaign announcement, an endorsement like what Robert Kennedy Jr. did this week for Donald Trump. That's another subject we'll get into next week. But the bottom line is this administration and what they've tried to pull and all the lies they've told you and everything that they have wrought on the American people. Grocery prices up 40%, over 15 million illegals in our country now, jamming up our major cities, causing great financial distress. All this is they're doing, all the crime, all of the chaos in the country. This is not the Trump administration in office. This is the Biden-Harris administration. And now Kamala Harris is running against her own administration. She's not running against Trump policies. She's endorsing Trump policies and running against her own administration. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Kip Kiefer, enjoy always being with you here on TKR. Need to know a lot you needed to know today. The biggest lesson is don't mess with Mossad. These are some bad mothers, and the Iranians are going to find out just how bad if they continue to play in the backyard of Israel's survival. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll be back next week right here with another edition of Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.